Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, that completely sucked. Oh, my God. The good news is the Yankees are still 6-2. The good news is that's one baseball game. The bad news is you're in your car right now, and you spend $275 per ticket to go to the most anticipated Yankees home opener in many years. You spent another $45 to park. You then bought a lot of food, and the New York Yankee offense bored you to tears. That's the problem. So, Yankee fans, as you sit here on this Friday afternoon, the good news is it's one baseball game. The good news is you're still a good baseball team. The bad news is you just took a lot of money and a lot of time, and you wasted it on a Friday afternoon for one of the duddiest Yankee home openers in recent memory. Because for the most part, Tiki, the Yankees will give you some good moments on the home opener. They mostly win, and when they don't win, they score a run, maybe two, maybe three. This is the first time since the late 60s that the Yankees got shut out on an opening day. So good news, one game. Bad news is, what a horrible Friday afternoon at Yankee Stadium.
It's opening day. It wasn't raining for the first time in a few days. Sean got his ice cream, and he made it back.
He did.
For the show.
It's he did.
Impressive.
Damn right. He did.
Public transportation supported him today.
That's impressive.
He made the trains right on time. And, in fact, I think the one even waited for him. Did you call ahead?
They knew. They waved it out and said, sorry, Evan and Tiki, start soon. Hold the train.
And you stayed until the very last out when Verdugo hit that little CT fly ball to right field. You know what I mean by that? A little tease to right field. You were still in the ballpark watching it.
Yes, I sat there. Well, I didn't sit. I stood there, watched that fly ball, and went, is this going to get out? Are we not even going to have a show today? And then it didn't, and then I ran for the train.
Here's a question I have for Tiki Barber, for Sean Morash, and I'll give you my honest opinion. It's for every Yankee fan out there. So the Yankees play a baseball game today in which Marcus Stroman is electric, and I don't want to ignore that. Marcus Stroman was freaking awesome, especially considering the first pitch of the game was a double into the right field corner, and he seemed to not give two bleeps about it and got through the inning. But the New York Yankee offense was completely limp. And when Nick Birdie throws not one, not two, but three wild pitches, even though two of them should have been pass balls, if you ask me, and the Yankees are down 3-0, I think we all feel, okay, they're dead, it's over. But when the Yankees get back-to-back base hits in the bottom of the ninth inning, Anthony Rizzo hits one off the wall, single, no big deal, and then Anthony Volpe down to his final strike, slaps one to right field, and now, for the first time all day, the fans rise to their feet. Here comes Doogie himself, the head dog, Alex Verdugo.
Dog!
Are you thinking,
holy crap. He's going to have his, he's going to hit a game tying 3-run home run.
That would have been nice.
Did you think it though, Teague?
I mean, not really, because nobody was hitting.
Yeah, but you didn't think that was the moment that was going to wake everybody up?
How was that coming out of nowhere? I mean, if maybe it had some good at bats, he'd put some hard, you know, wood on the ball every now and then, maybe I would have said, yeah, this is the moment. And then we would not got on air at all because we'd have gone into extra innings. actually then, yeah, it would have gone into extra innings.
Yes.
And so, no, I didn't think that at all. What I did see was a bunch of swings and misses.
Yes.
And we'll talk about Stroman in a second because I thought he was fantastic. But there were too many of these at-bats. And I didn't think it would get to this point this quickly where we start to say, Juan Soto, just swing the damn bat.
Oh, really?
You know they're calling these outside strikes. Just swing your bat.
He
did.
He struck out twice swinging.
I know. But
he gave you that.
He's in this moment where he's trying to... Like, we know he has command. And by the way, Juan, you're right. Those were not strikes that are getting called on you on the outside. They are not strikes. You're absolutely right.
He knows the strike zone better than anybody, including the home plate umpire Jimenez.
100%. And the Fugazi box that's on my screen that I'm watching it on, it tells me that you are right, Juan Soto. But there are moments when you just need to say, damn what the umpire is going to do. Damn what the pitcher's trying to do. I need to put bat on ball and get a hit. Mm. And it hasn't happened. First four games, 9 out of 17, right? 9 hits, 17 at-bats. The last four games, one hit and 16 at-bats.
So you're turning on Juan Soto.
I'm not turning on Juan Soto.
It kind of sounds
right. I'm saying is that sometimes Juan Soto, that moment requires you to swing the bat.
That's not who he is, though, Tiki.
Especially when you know that these umps are just screwing the corners.
Yeah, but that's not who he is, man. I've told you about this for a while. He's got such a great eye, and he doesn't give in. He does not give in, and there are going to be a lot of times where there are pitches off the plate that are called a strike. But he has cooled off after that very, very hot start. But the problem today was nobody hit. I mean, absolutely nobody hit. But I did think for a second, when Doogie came to the plate and Chad Green is on the mound, and think about it, Yankee fans, think about how you guys have won 6 of 7 to start the year prior to today. A lot of comebacks, a lot of feistiness, a lot of never-say-die attitude. I think the Yankee fan over the first 7 games was not just encouraged by 6-1, but encouraged by their ability to come back. That's why, and you tell me, Sean, because you're in the building, as Volpe rips the base hit to right, and now the tying run is at the plate, and here comes lead dog himself, Alex Verdugo. Did you get the sense, here's his Yankee moment?
Yes, I started to get that bark in the back of my throat. That's and I got to be
thought.
Honest.
That's what I thought.
There were murmurs as he dug in the box. You started to hear very light. I'm serious. There was
no,
some of that. No. There was some of that, but it wasn't like vocally loud. I was like, oh, wow, we got a light bark. But I really did think that because of the way the Yankee team had played the whole trip.
By the way, I thought the same thing. Now, I'm not in the ballpark. I was in the ballpark for a little bit of time, but I left prior to first pitch. I had some fun in the ballpark, maybe more on that later. But sitting in my, you know, just very nice, quiet office, I don't know why. And like, I'm not always positive or negative. There's just a vibe you get. And when he came to the plate, and maybe it's because I know...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Chad Green thinks. Maybe that's a part of it. Mm. Maybe it's the fact that the Yankees have shown all that fight over the first week of the season. And maybe it's the fact that I looked at this opening day and said, is it really going to end like this? Is it really going to end with them getting shut out for the first time at a home opener since 1967? Is it really going to end this meekly? And off the bat, I knew it wasn't out. But in your seat, did you think off the bat that thing was gone?
Of course I did. And Evan, look, whenever you're at a game for the first time in a baseball season, you always misjudge those fly balls anyway. So the crack of the bat, the way the outfielder backed up, yes, I thought it was out. I thought beers were going to go flying.
Now, as that ball is nestling into the glove of George Springer in right field, I want you to be honest with me. Because you froze your ass off like 47,000 other people.
It wasn't freezing.
Dude, you weren't even sitting outside.
I know, but it's 50 degrees. I went for a jog today. It was nice.
This guy is so out of touch.
47,000 of us weren't jogging. We sat there eating Cracker Jacks.
And ice cream. Yes. Make it even worse.
Tiki. Set a cold standard.
I was in Yankee Stadium for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I sat in the seat. I walked around. I got yelled at by a lot of people. It was a very fun time. It was freezing. You can't say to us.
No, come on.
Because you jogged a few hours earlier. Hold it on. Wasn't cold. It
freezing?
Was cold.
No, Tiki.
Freezing.
Where I was sitting wasn't as cold as some areas. I had people in the bathroom leaving the bleacher section that told me some of their private genitalia was being stuck to the bleachers.
First of all, let me just say this. To anybody out there who's driving back from the game, if you were cold, you can call us up right now to yell at Tiki Barber, who's basically saying you're soft.
I'm just saying it's not freezing.
It was, dude, it was 46 degrees at first pitch.
Okay. Stadium
that
series
is
was warm.
Not freezing.
The stadium series was warmer.
I was warmer at the stadium series.
Oh, come on.
I was. I'm just telling you the truth.
Just because you were drunker and you know you didn't have to come on air after.
Fair.
That's
very fair.
That's it.
Thank you.
That's the big one right there. But it was a very, very cold day.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. But freezing?
Yes! Yes, it was freezing. Okay. Especially if you decided to have Mr. Softy ice cream prior to first pitch. Then you were really freezing your ass off. But I really thought, it's not ending like this. Mm. Are we really going to sit here and watch the Yankees lose 3-0? Is that how it's ending? And so off the bat, you could tell it wasn't going out. Mm. But if you're in that ballpark, I could imagine you jumped out of your seat. Now, Sean, here's the other question. Did you put Juan Soto?
I did not. Mm. Nobody booed Juan Soto.
Nobody booed Juan Soto.
Did you boo anybody?
Stanton.
Which strikeout? The one in the first, the one in the second, or maybe one of the flyouts late in the game?
It was the second one.
Yeah, so the second one was very, very bad. And the second one, here's what pissed me off about the second Stanton strikeout. And I'm not sure if you saw this in the building. And this is the beauty of you're in the building, me and Tiki are here. He struck out prior to striking out. The 2-2 pitch was a strike.
Right.
And he missed it. The home plate umpire, Jimenez. So when that happened, I wasn't sitting with anybody. So I talk to myself sometimes and I say stuff out loud. And I said out loud, he's parking one here. Mm. Like, this is going to be the Tino Martinez 98 World Series game one moment.
Why do you have all of this optimism? Like, all this in-the-moment optimism.
Well, on this team?
I'm just saying in general today. Forget on the team.
Because it was the most anticipated Yankee home opener in, like, a generation.
But what gave you the Stanton... You know, struck out but didn't strike out. Now he's got an extra strike to not strike out. He's going to hit a home run.
Okay, let me give you an answer.
What gave you two on in the bottom of the ninth inning and Verdugo's up and he gets bat on ball and, man, this thing's going to be a home run? Like, what is making you feel
I'm gonna answer that.
All of this optimism for the team that you don't even root for?
That's a fair question. It's not about rooting or not rooting. It's about an observation. It's about a feel. Mm. And by the way, my feel was dead wrong. I was wrong about both things, so I'm certainly not bragging. In Stanton's case, A, you're facing a lefty in Kikuchi, and you know about his numbers against lefties last year. And B, sometimes when an umpire gives you a gift... You take advantage of it.
Yeah.
That 2-2 pitch was a strike. The umpire missed it. And as far as the bottom of the ninth inning was concerned, I just couldn't imagine that this home opener, which cost a ton of money for anybody to go to, which was a red-hot ticket, which had a buzz. I felt that buzz. I was at least there for a little bit. Sean was there even longer than me. He felt the buzz. I didn't think this game and this moment in this season was just going to end with a thud. I didn't think that. I thought they were going to have kind of a magical, pseudo-magical moment, and it didn't happen. Now, here's the good news. This doesn't mean that I can have a magical year. This is not necessarily an indicator of what's going to happen next, but I do admit it sucks. It sucks when you sit outside in the cold. It sucks when you give up work. It sucks when you spend a lot of money And then watch that, because that was a bore fest if you're a Yankee fan. I mean, other than Marcus Stroman strutting a little bit after he struck out Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the fifth inning, like, there wasn't very much to be excited about.
No, there wasn't, but it was still opening day, and the Yankees are still 6-2. So let's keep it in perspective. It sucked. Obviously, today sucked, but the last week has not sucked.
No, no. So they're 6-2.
Keep it in perspective.
And it was also 1-0 until the top of the ninth.
Exactly.
That was where, more so than the bottom, like, that was where the wheels fell off and you felt the excitement get drained. Because of a 1-0 game, you still sensed, oh, are they going to walk it off? Are they going to walk it off? It was the bullpen that collapsed at the end.
Well, there was something else that I think contributed to them losing this game. And it's right now 5:08. And doing a Cinco de Fivo with Sean Morash 5 minutes into the show did not make much sense. So instead, today will be the first time ever Sean will present to you a Cinco de Sixo. Coming up at 6 o'clock.
Very careful the way I have to say that.
But I felt compelled to give you a Cinco de Evo. Uh-oh.
Cinco de Evo on Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
And this is for all the Yankee fans out there who have a common thing that they do after Yankee losses. Do you know the common thing that Yankee fans do after losses?
Drink a lot.
Drink a lot's a great idea. That is not the answer we're looking for.
What is the answer?
They call up Sports Talk Radio, whether it's Chris McMonagle at night, whether it's Keith McPherson, whether it's
now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next day with Boomer and Gio or us or whomever, and they bitch about the manager.
I botched it again.
And so I give you a Cinco de Evo on the five things Aaron Boone botched on opening day. You ready?
Let's hear him.
Here we go!
Number five.
Why not let Marcus Stroman start the seventh inning? What's the deal here?
Because he was at 98 pitches.
Okay, he threw 104 in his first start. Why not get him to 110? Why not squeeze an extra out or two? Remember, the leadoff hitter in the seventh inning turned out to be this Ernie Clement, who pinched hit for Kevin Biggio. If you let Marcus Stroman face one more batter, maybe that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but Biggio has what? 5 home runs in his career?
Yeah.
Did you think that was going to happen?
No, that's why I keep Marcus Stroman in the game.
And honestly, for cosmetic reasons, Stroman deserved to come back out just to face one more batter, so we knew as fans he was coming out to give him a bigger hand.
I agree. Let me keep this in mind. I'm not saying he's going to get through the seventh inning, but steal as many outs as you can. So you agree with number five?
I'm in on number five.
All right.
Number four.
Keeping Dennis Santana in the game for a third different inning?
I botched it again.
Who the hell do you think Dennis Santana is? He got lucky to get out of the seventh inning. He gets through the eighth inning great. Now you let him start the ninth inning? And then you let him give up back-to-back hits after Juan Soto makes a great run and catch? Keeping Dennis Santana in for multiple, up-downs? For multiple up-downs? What are we doing, Booney?
All right. That one I have to agree with, because Dennis Santana, I didn't know.
Didn't know at all. Trust me, I know him.
And the big screen couldn't remind us enough that he has a career 5.71 ERA. That's so, yes.
All right.
We should have dumped him.
I'm off to a good start.
Number three.
Jose Trevino comes up to lead off the eighth inning. Dude, you really got to hit this guy? I mean, he stinks. Oh. You're right over there.
Oh, that was screaming about that.
Thank you.
What are we worried that Austin Wells could get hurt later in the game? Trevino hasn't gotten a hit in a year and a half.
No, and I'll tell you the answer Aaron Boone gave after the game, because I want to be fully honest about Boone's excuse for this one and for number two. I don't buy his excuse, but I want everyone to know his excuse. His excuse was Trevor Richards has these nasty reverse splits. And by the way, that's true. That's fair. Trevor Richards is tougher against lefties than righties. But guess what? Austin Wells is better than Jose Trevino. Screw the reverse splits. Put the better hitter up there. And that leads us to number two.
Number two.
Not pinch hitting for John Birdie with Oswaldo Cabrera in the seventh inning with a runner on base.
I botched it again.
You did, Aaron. Oswaldo's been awesome this season, man. You gotta use him. And that leads to number one.
Number one.
You didn't even start as Waldo Cabrera.
I botched it again.
Yep. Of course you did. I wouldn't have to complain about number two if you did number one, because number one means Oswaldo Cabrera Teague, who's been one of their best hitters, actually plays.
That number one is the best one, because that one doesn't make any sense.
That's why it's number one.
We talked about this at the beginning of the season, a week and a half ago, how you probably didn't know what the future was for Oswaldo Cabrera until he started crushing it,
yeah,
raking, doing exactly what you expected him to do as a kid with pressure, but also an opportunity. So he takes that opportunity and he forces his way into the lineup.
Yes.
And so we're like, hey, young kid, Boone likes him. He's producing. Keep him in there. He's earned the right to be in there. When you see the starting lineup today and he's not in the ballgame, in my mind, I'm saying he's too young to need rest. First of all, second of all, it's too damn early in the season to need rest. And he's been the only, I guess Volpe as well, the most consistent player on this team.
That's right.
With his bat. And you're going to take him out of the lineup at home, no less.
That's right.
Where Yankee fans who love to see a kid that was drafted and developed come up through the ranks and make it, and now all of a sudden you're not giving them the opportunity at the home opener? It didn't make any sense.
I totally agree. Matter of fact, he got, for lack of a better term today, on the Yankee Richter scale, the fifth loudest ovation of anybody introduced to the crowd today.
I see what you did there. Richter scale.
Yeah,
more on that as the show
how about
goes
that?
On.
He got the loudest of any guy that was a non-starter or Gerrit Cole. And the fact that we went all this, hey, he's earned the right. He earned the right to start the home opener. Bottom line, should have been in there. Give me a break.
You know what I'm saying? That one doesn't make sense now. Now that I think about it, like Birdie, why does John Birdie need to be starting the home opener?
I think what he did is the same thing with looking at Trevor Richards' reverse splits. Is he made decisions based on the opponent. Made decisions on Oswaldo not facing a lefty because some lefties he bats lefty against, some lefties he bats righty against. I agree with you. He deserved to start. You know what I just noticed?
What's that?
When I first started doing the Cinco de Evo, the five things Aaron Boone screwed up on opening day, you gave me a look of, you got nothing, Evan. They didn't lose because of Aaron Boone. They lost because they couldn't hit. And then after I got the list, you know what you thought to yourself?
Right.
Aaron Boone botched it again.
I botched it again.
Yeah, he did.
It's a long-ass season.
Even if it was only by not starting Oswaldo Cabrera, even if I don't fully agree with all of them except for the first one, number one, that was the big one. Because he hits, and he has been hitting. He deserved to be the opening day, the home opening starter.
No question about it. By the way, first time the Mets and Yankees both lost a home opener in the same season since 2009. And I give a big assist to Tommy Lugauer because Lugie comes into my office and says, is this the worst opening day in New York sports history of home openers? And I said, what do you mean? And Lugie's like, it doesn't seem like they both ever lose at the same time. And I looked it up. And he's right. 2009 was the last time, first year of Citi Field in Yankee Stadium. Before that was 1997. Before that was 1979. The Mets and the Yankees do not lose home openers in the same season. They did it this year.
Good job by Lugauer.
Yeah.
2009, we'll take it.
A lot to get to, including a lot of the atmosphere at Yankee Stadium and things you may have noticed. But let's get to your calls, because Tiki's telling us, even though he wasn't in the building, you were not called at the Yankee home opener. I was there for an hour. Sean was. He was there for 5 hours. What about Andrew in Queens? What's up, Andrew?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good.
What's up, dude?
So, I'm sorry. Look, I was sitting in 315, row 3 for innings 1 through 9. I went to go get food for a couple innings where you could tell it was cold, but I wasn't cold. I mean, granted, I'm layered up. I've got 3 layers on and a coat. So I dressed properly, but the wind wasn't hitting me. I mean, I know people in the upper deck, they were feeling it, and I know people out in the bleachers, but I think it all depends where you sat. But right now, I mean, I'm pretty toasty. I've been to Giants games in, you know, October that were colder than this. So people just need to nut up a little bit. Except that it's opening day. You know, drink a couple extra hard beers, go to stands before the game, get liquored up, and you feel fine.
That's what I'm talking about, Andrew.
I think Andrew just hit on it, basically. You got to be drunk.
Dude, if you don't have any brown liquid going down your esophagus before the game starts, you're going to be cold.
Larry's calling from Roxbury. What's up, Larry?
What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys, what's going on? I'm stuck in complete gridlock traffic in the Bronx. This stinks, but I was in the upper deck, took my son, paid $100 on SeatGeek, but I turned out it was windy and it was cold. It was freezing. But
were you dressed properly, Larry? Were you dressed properly?
I did. I dressed in layers. I had a knit hat on and a hoodie. But, I mean, it was cold, but it's opening day, you know? But it's always like the, gray sky, windy, no sun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah, of course.
I tell you why I'm really aggravated. I've been to a million opening days. First time ever, guys. No flyover. Might not be a big thing, but I wonder why there was no Jets.
That's an interesting. You know what? By the way, Larry, I have a random thought. I think I know why, too.
Yeah.
I think the earthquake.
Yeah, because
they grounded flights after the quake,
Sean
didn't they?
Sean told us that they grounded all these flights. I had a buddy who was actually at Newark, and was trying to leave. And luckily, after I don't know how long it was, an hour, they let him leave.
Yeah.
So that's likely what it was.
Yes, 100%. If you're telling me, and it's not something I've been to a lot of Yankee opening days, mm-hmm. no doubt. I haven't been to all of them, and I don't remember certain things such as that. But if you're telling me it happens at every Yankee home opener and it didn't happen today, I think the quake has a lot to do with it. And by the way, that's the other monstrous story going around New York City right now.
Did you feel the quake?
Did you feel the quake? And how pissed are you at the state and the city for continuing to send us alerts? We know there was an earthquake. We're aware of it. And yet, like, you don't have to tell us anymore. We felt it, bro.
And by the way, it was like 30 minutes later.
I know.
I got the alert 30. I was like, dude, we know.
What was the point of the alert?
It was an earthquake.
Great.
We figured that out.
Thank you. It's like after, I was going to use an aliens analogy, but Tiki does not like that because they don't exist.
They do. Well, they may exist. We're just never going to come in contact with them.
In a fictitious world where aliens exist, they blow us up and then our phones go off to say, watch out for the aliens. Like telling us 3 hours later there was an earthquake does us no good. Now, real quick on the earthquake. All right, let's examine this.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in two earthquakes prior to this. One in California with Greg Giannotti and Joe Beningo, but they were both high at the time,
so they don't remember
it that much.
That's great.
And I think G has even admitted Evan was freaking out. He was holding on. Those two are like, wow, right,
what was the level? Was it like 6, 7?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because this one was relatively light.
This was a tiny
this
one.
This was 4.8?
4.7, 4.8.
Now, there was a 5.3, 5.4 in New York City in 2011. Another one I had with Beningo because we were on the air. And I remember experiencing it on the air, and Joe claimed I was kicking him. And I said, I'm not kicking you. There's an earthquake. But this one, did you feel this one?
Of course I did.
What were you doing?
My daughter had just gotten up because she slept late with her sister.
Right.
So they were up all night. So they got up late. They're in spring break, by the way. They didn't skip school. And
it's okay if they do.
Exactly. And she was making her pancakes or her waffles.
Right.
And she stopped. And she's like, what is that? I was like, oh, it's probably just a truck.
That's what you thought it was?
I thought it was just like a big truck coming down the road or something. Instead, Tracy starts screaming from the... Did you feel that? Did you feel that? I'm like, yes, we felt it. It's fine. Calm down.
So your wife had to tell you there's an earthquake.
Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, nothing happened.
No. For us, it's a big deal because we don't normally experience it.
The house shook a little bit.
Yeah.
It felt like nothing.
Yeah. No, I didn't feel it. I was driving to Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I get a call from my wife. Oh, my God. Did you feel that? And I'm like, no, I'm driving on the freaking Bronx Express. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And she told me about it. I never felt it. Now, you were in the parking lot of Yankee Stadium?
No, I was in stands.
You were in stands?
And to be honest, we didn't realize it was an earthquake in real time. Stands was rocking pregame starting at 9 o'clock.
What, was there music playing? Like,
music blaring. When the earthquake hit.
So you thought it was the bass.
Stands broke into the YMCA. And everybody was getting up doing the YMCA at like 10, whenever the heck this happened.
Yeah.
And the floor, like, shook a little bit, but it just felt like everybody was jumping up and down doing the YMCA.
So you didn't know?
Didn't know.
You didn't know until we texted you and said there was an earthquake?
Yeah, it was young man. Dun, dun. That was it.
Wow. How about you, Loogie? Did you feel it?
I did. So I'm in my apartment. We just moved. I thought my wife had a power tool going on. Then I thought it was a train, and then I was like, crap, I think we just had an earthquake.
Your wife operates power tools?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
That's very sexy, by the way.
She puts it right between...
That was great. By the way, we all know what we did during the earthquake. You want to know what Aaron Judge did during the earthquake?
What did he do?
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the captain of the New York Yankees, being asked what he was doing during the earthquake.
Did you feel the earthquake before the game?
Yeah, I felt that. Felt that pregame. You know, usually you feel a couple of rumbles in this stadium pregame, but that one was a little different.
Where were you?
I don't want to say.
Yeah, that's definitely a no comment.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. We good?
Imagine dropping a deuce during an earthquake. That's clearly what Aaron's telling us, right? There's nothing else going on.
What else could he be? If he was at the stadium, what else could he have been doing that he wouldn't want to say?
Dude, that would freak me out. Imagine sitting there and you're kind of helpless because you're not getting up in the middle of that.
Yeah, but it might help.
Help what?
A lot of shaking.
Take it out.
Gleyber Torres was taking batting practice. He just kept hitting right through it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Anthony in Westchester. What's up, Anthony?
Gentlemen, how we doing? We're this good. Whole talk about it being cold, it really wasn't that bad. But
Thank
my
you.
Problem, besides the Yankee offense doing nothing, Evan, how long did it take you to get that ice cream?
It took 32 seconds.
Okay. I don't know what time you did it, because I was in section 112, and I was in the stadium by 12:30.
Yeah.
Went up to get my three-year-old some ice cream in the third inning. I got back. It was bottom of the sixth.
What? Why?
I had never wow. in my life, I've been to World Series games, ALCS games, when we used to be good enough to get to them.
Yeah.
I have never, ever in my life in the stadium so understaffed and so unprepared for it.
Really?
I don't know who was less prepared. The concession workers or everyone who was trying to hit the ball.
Wow.
It was pathetic.
All right. Awful. Well, I'm glad you brought this up so we could address this. Now, Sean, you were not sitting that far away from 112 where he got this.
Right.
Did you notice this being a problem today?
Yeah, it wasn't an ice cream problem. This is an everything problem, and I noticed it last year.
Everything problem meaning what?
All the concessions, including the main sausage stand right where I was standing. The concession speed of the worker / understaffing has yet to match at Yankee Stadium the pace of play problem in baseball. This was an issue last year, and I thought it was a glaring issue. Naturally, first day back at work.
Whoa, hold on. Tonight. You're saying this is a pace of play issue?
It happened to me last year, Evan, multiple times at the stadium.
This happened to BT, too, because BT left.
Yeah.
Because Colt was with him, his son. BT's son, Colt, was with him. So he went to go get, I don't know, pop something.
Right.
And he missed basically an inning and a half.
But he missed an inning and a half because the game was quick, not because it took forever.
This is what Sean's talking about.
What you don't realize is you're probably taking the same amount of time on ridiculous lines than you used to at Yankee Stadium, but because the game is flying by so much quicker, you didn't care that you were meandering online staring at a menu. The Yankee State, it gets better as the year goes on, but it didn't match last year, and the same thing today. I couldn't believe the lines. But the lines are there, the workers are trying, but you miss 2-3
innings, so you're
flying by.
So what you're claiming, though, and I don't think our last caller was claiming this, you're claiming the lines are the same they've always been, it just feels different because the game's quicker.
No, that caller was saying exactly what Sean is saying. He went to go get his son ice cream. It took forever, and he missed whatever it was.
No, but he was saying understaffed, and it's not like this when they're in an ALCS.
I think that's a perception thing, though.
Exactly what I'm trying to tell you.
That's what you guys are claiming.
I think that we don't realize how long we waited online for concessions because of how long these innings took and pitches and all of that, and we didn't mind doing it.
So you're claiming, so the thought you have is that it's all the same, it just feels different because the game is quicker. That's your claim.
And don't get me wrong, I do think first homestand, there's going to be a tad bit longer than usual. Everybody's back at work. I'm not trying to say it's not the case. But yes, I am claiming that. I think if you don't get your food you want to eat pregame and you care about watching all these innings, you are screwed at Yankee Stadium.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, there's no way to prove one way or the other. Like, if I'm right or you're right. But I get the sense that maybe today, for whatever reason, maybe there was something going on today that they may have been short-staffed. If it was taking him that long to get freaking ice cream.
I did see the lines. I did see the lines, but I've always seen the lines. It's just the game moves quicker now.
Interesting. We'll get back to your calls, your experience at Yankee Stadium today. And certainly as you sit in traffic, the Yankees lose 3-0. Aaron Boone made some boneheaded decisions the Yankees couldn't hit. And Juan Soto did nothing for you today. Did you have an urge at any moment to start whipping out the booze that Sean Morash warns you cannot do this season? More of your calls coming up, 877-337-6666. So the Yankee fans sitting in your car right now, let me tell you about something you may have missed and something that annoyed me. So when Marcus Stroman struck out Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to end the fifth inning, Marcus did the Euro step, you know? He did a little Euro step, little dance as he went off the mound. I love it. Personally.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, that can't bother you.
No. I'm supporting him.
All right.
I think
you started it by saying this something bothered me, and then you mentioned the Euro step.
That's right.
Making sure you're being for real.
You'll see where I'm going. So Vladimir Guerrero strikes out, and you could tell he's peeking at Marcus Stroman. He sees the Euro step. He sees the moonwalk. He sees the dance by Marcus Stroman. Two innings later, with Marcus Stroman out of the game, and Vladimir Guerrero's fat ass sitting in the dugout, a young man by the name of Ernie Clement came up as a pinch hitter and hit the home run that basically won the game for the Toronto Blue Jays. You know what Vladimir Guerrero did as he was celebrating the home run? And I want to remind you, Vlad, you did nothing. Your fat ass didn't do a damn thing in this game. Vladimir Guerrero mocked Marcus Stroman.
What'd he do?
He did the Euro step.
But
what the hell are you, bro? You didn't do anything.
But it wasn't even Marcus Stroman who gave up the home run.
Exactly.
That makes no sense.
That's what annoyed me about it. Like, I love new age baseball. I love the let the kids play. Yeah. So If Vladimir Guerrero Jr. got revenge on Marcus Stroman by hitting a home run and did the Euro step, I think all of us would say, hey, you know what? He earned that. He earned that. Maybe you'd be annoyed because you don't like Vladimir Guerrero, but you'd say, hey, listen, man, he did it. You responded. What's fair in love and war, right? But, dude, it wasn't against Stroman, and you did nothing to contribute to it. Guerrero was 0 for 5 with 3 strikeouts, and he's dancing? I got to admit, that annoyed me.
I can see why. I mean,
so you're with me on that?
Of course, but there's no consequence. I mean, he was 0 for 5, right? 3 Ks in the game, so I'm worried about him.
I'd drill him tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. You want to drill them up?
Really? Let's go. Send a message. These are the new Yankees, Teague.
Nah, drill dude. This is not a Rhys Hoskins type situation. Forget the slide, even the crybaby thing.
Yeah.
Right? That's more insulting to Jeff McNeil than him Euro-stepping on something that Marcus Stroman didn't even give up. That makes no sense.
That's what bothered me about. Like, well, why are you celebrating? You didn't do anything. And it wasn't the guy who was celebrating who gave up the home run. Now, Guerrero said things about the Yankees in the past. I think he said he'll never play for them. He hates them. All that kind of crap.
Rivalry.
And that's fine.
Rivalries are good.
I don't mind the rivalry. I mind celebrating in that way when you didn't do anything and the guy you're mocking didn't do anything. Now, Sean, did anybody boo Giancarlo? You were about to, you said, or you did? Did you boo him?
I booed him, but I booed him kind of like, yeah, let's get a chuckle out of the crowd. Yeah. Let's boo Giancarlo.
It's no one else booed?
No.
It was jovially.
It was actually like the Yankees, I think, got one by today. We were accepting of the no runs, I think, from the crowd. And honestly, our faces were too frozen to boo.
And stop. 6-1. It has a lot to do with
it. Of course.
Yeah.
No, the crowd was juice going in. It was Soto with the roll call. Stroman pumped up the crowd. I think the Yankees got a big fat pass from the crowd today.
Now, this is what I got from TV. You tell me if this felt differently in the ballpark. The roll call sounded louder than ever.
Yeah.
So that was not, yes, miking them up.
No.
That was literally, they were louder than they normally are.
Absolutely. And they were into Verdugo and Soto specifically. And both of those guys like gave a real big reaction to the fans. And Soto, right before the roll call, came out to start that inning and was pumping up the bleacher creatures and everything. The bleacher creatures were fired up for that. So it was extremely loud.
Yeah, that came across, man. Like you heard, and not just their roll call chants for Verdugo and for Soto, but Anthony Volpe,
of
even
course,
John Birdie, like... It was freaking loud. So good job by the bleacher creatures out there today.
And Rizzo doing the Tommy DeVito to the crowd. That was nice. That's his roll call answer.
Did he really?
Yes.
What was his roll call answer last year?
See, it's a good point. I thought he just did a wave. Maybe he had been doing that and DeVito took it. But if he's not, it was great. I honestly forgot. But now that DeVito made it so famous,
right. You
notice when an Italian does that. And that was Rizzo's thing to the roll call.
Though. Yeah, I got
to
go back down and find out.
Is that going to be the Tommy DeVito from now on?
I think so.
I think so.
I think he just trademarked that. He branded that thing.
Imagine if Rizzo...
We've all seen it.
Yeah.
Forever.
Well, think about it. If Rizzo was doing it last year,
and
now we've got Sean basically saying it's the Tommy DeVito.
I know. And by the way, I saw not one but two Tommy Cutlet shirts in the crowd today. So that, it stays, man.
Were you okay with what I was wearing to the game today?
I mean,
yes. Is that what you wore?
No, I wore a New York Jets hoodie and a New York Islanders beanie. I'm wearing the Islanders beanie now. I supported my other teams, but not the Mets while at Yankee Stadium.
So for those who don't know, Evan got heckled, got harassed a little
I got
bit.
Harassed by a lot
Verbally
of you people.
Harassed. Not in a bad way. Just like, you Met fan, what are you doing here?
I got a lot of what the hell are you doing here?
You could not have made yourself any more non-Yankee than wearing a Jet jersey.
Green.
A green Jet whatever, hoodie.
Yeah.
And an Islanders hat. Right?
That blue, match orange, and green, and let's just call it like it is.
The match doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
But Tiki on top
of
that.
It looks like a Mets hat, and it looks like, why are you wearing a puke green? But, right? It just makes no sense.
Puke green?
But on top of that, I tweet
Yankee
out the picture.
Yankee fans are Giants fans, man.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You had to know that you were going to get harassed.
I knew that
simply for your outfit. And then they recognized you. Maybe they had to look a little harder through your beard. But they're like, oh, wait, that's Evan.
But Tiki.
Oh, definitely. Boom.
Tiki, if he's going to wear a Jet sweatshirt, does it have to be clean, though? Because a lot of people point that out. I took a picture of him holding the ice
cream. Because of the ice cream?
Oh, no.
No.
Stained from life.
Yeah, I didn't notice the stain, to be honest with you. When I put that sweatshirt on this morning, I was like, you know what? Because my attitude when I go to a ballpark, and you know I go a lot of buildings, even if my team's not playing, that's not abnormal. I think a part of it is, you know, I like being at the big events. Other part is I'm a talk show host. It's good to be there. It's good to be there. I'm going to go to Knick playoff games this year. I'm obviously not a Knick fan, and I don't wear Knick stuff. And I wouldn't wear Net stuff. That's disrespectful. I wouldn't wear Met stuff. It's disrespectful. I don't like when people do that. And I've seen people do that at ballparks. So my attitude is I wear the other teams that I root for.
Okay.
The teams that don't play in that particular sport. So if you woke up this morning and you checked the newspaper, what you may know is that the New York Islanders are in a playoff spot.
That's true, but do me a favor.
What up?
Turn your head and look at that. All right, Sean, Loogie, if you see that, if you see him right now, what do you think that is? What do you think that is?
It's a Met hat.
Exactly right. So all these people that were walking behind you are like, who the hell is this jackass wearing a Mets hat to Yankees opening day? Especially, that's exactly what they were thinking.
Especially in baseball mode, because you could make the case Nick hat as well, but you're a baseball team, you see the orange and blue, it's iconic, it's a Met hat.
So I should have just gone green for the Jets. I should have been Universal Jets.
You should have.
Yes.
All right.
Or Universal Islanders. Actually, no, that would have been worse, because you really would have thought
I would have really done that. I just don't know where the stain came from on the sweatshirt. But the ice cream at the Mr. Softy station was unbelievable.
I'm kind of jealous of it, by the way.
Ice cream's back at Yankee Stadium. Oh, my that God.
And you know what? I didn't even have a problem going into that Yankee helmet. Because the helmet makes it. Like, the ice cream's great to begin with, even on a cold day where it's 45 degrees. But I kind of need it in a helmet. If I have it in a cup, it feels like you're not really at a baseball game. And I didn't do this because I didn't want to be a pig. They got giant Yankee helmets. Like, you know the helmet you get ice cream in is usually a mini?
Yeah.
I saw real size Yankee helmets that they would stick the ice cream in. Could you imagine that?
I think that as the summer goes on, my gut tells me Mr. Softy might be breaking out some banana splits.
I was going to say, that's what that feels like.
Yeah.
That's what you think.
I sense it coming. It's kind of like what but
they
happens don't first.
They didn't have it today.
No, but I wonder, Jason Dominguez comes, banana splits come. You know, that's maybe, you know, the two ads in the midseason.
Well, that's going to be a big midseason edition.
Which one is more important for Sean?
The ice cream.
For
Nick,
sure.
Nick is calling from New Jersey. What's up, Nick?
Salutations, fellas. Salutations. Evan, I believe that you left me on hold just because you knew I was going to say my son, he just fell asleep, was sitting in traffic, but he said you were soft. We sat section 26, row 1, right on the field.
Nice.
On the shady side, third baseline, and it wasn't cold. It wasn't cold. My 5-year-old said that guy on the radio is soft, Daddy.
Oh, so nice.
Nick, you are raising him so amazingly. That is awesome.
Now, Beaky, you may not know who I am. Evan knows. Evan banned me from his Twitter baseball thing because I called him out when he got hit by this horrible pitch. That didn't hurt, but he made a big scene. So this guy has a vendetta against me. I don't know why.
I do not have a vendetta against you.
I don't know, Evan.
I think you accused me of using non-real baseballs. I think that was what annoyed me. We use real baseballs. We don't use fake baseballs. And by the way, when I get hit by a pitch, it hurts. All right, I've got very sensitive skin. So if I was in pain after I got hit, there was good reason for it. But I'm happy for your 5-year-old. I'm happy that your little guy, first of all, went to opening day at Yankee Stadium. I think that's badass. I think it's great that he was there. And B, that he was able to brave the elements. I'm glad. But listen, I like the cold weather. I'm a big cold weather guy. It's freaking cold today. What do I want to tell you? I was only there for an hour and a half. It's freezing my ass off. You were too. You too over there.
Soft. I know.
Soft.
You
were cold too?
I didn't wear a winter hat. I could have been colder, but I will tell you other people in other areas of the state were far colder than me.
I can't remember now back to the last game of the regular season in the NFL. I know Evan had an issue with this. When Jamal Williams, New Orleans Saints, scores a touchdown with no time left against the Atlanta Falcons, running up to score. Everybody got pissed off. Arthur Smith screaming it. The other coach. You were against it. What were you?
I was in on it. I said, screw it. Play to the end. And I just thought they had no respect for the coach.
So you're not fully soft then?
No, I'm not a soft individual.
I'm just making sure.
Tiki, who spent the full 9 innings out there freezing and who didn't?
That's a good point.
You got built-in insulation, man. I'm happy for you.
I got more skin to get cold. Don't make a fat joke.
Built-in insulation. I like it. Let's go to Mo in Brooklyn. What's up, Mo?
Evan, congratulations on your book. I'm really excited to get a hold of it. A very fortunate time in my life. I was very close to that team, the teams of those years. I was in and out of the clubhouse. I was out with the players every night.
Nice.
So I really, really do look forward to
it. Awesome. Nice.
As far as the Yankee game today, it was like watching a Met game, to be honest with you.
Why are we facing shrapnel? This is unbelievable.
But now to hear the fans talking about the cold, I'm thinking to myself that if this was the weather we had in late October for a Giant game, I think the phone calls would be telling you how great the weather was.
Of course.
So it's all relevant for what you're looking at.
I mean, it was kind of football weather. It was football weather.
I think there's a different – I'll let you make your second point, Mo, but I've always wondered this because it's actually a really good point, that people look at baseball very differently than football when it comes to the kind of weather they're willing to sit through.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Like, this weather for a football game is amazing. It's a balmy day.
Right.
So I think a lot of it is mental, no question.
Here's my other point.
Yeah.
I see these new jerseys, and I heard all the pros and the cons, and you know, you listen to the nonsense about their lighter for the players. Meanwhile, all the players wear undergarments, so I don't know where that's coming from. but they.
I think we may have lost him there, unfortunately. What was his point, Logie? What was he going to complain about?
He was saying that the Yankees should be above wearing patches, and if you're going to wear patches, just let them grow beards, just, you know, buck all tradition.
Well, that's interesting. By the way, I'm with you on that, and I'm with you on allowing the Yankees to join the rest of the civilized universe, wear a chain, wear a do-rag.
They can wear a chain, just not multiple of them.
No, I know. And by the way, I like the fact that when I look at Alex Verdugo, and I look at Marcus Stroman, and I look at Juan Soto, I'm seeing the new New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. I am seeing them say, you know what? These are young players who have style, who have pizzazz. Like Marcus Stroman, and I liked him as a Met. I mean, some Met fans got upset. Why? Because he tweeted meanly to you? Like, I like the pizzazz that he has on the mat, and I like that kind of we don't give an F attitude.
Of course.
But I want to address this patch thing. Because everybody wears a patch now in Major League Baseball, and it is what it is. And I know you're trying to make a comparison, Mo did, to, hey, if you're going to have a sponsor patch, you should break all other traditions. Here's my problem with the patch. And I don't know if you saw this, Tiki, but at Yankee Stadium, they sell you a Yankee jersey.
Okay.
If you want the patch, it's an extra $15.
What?
So think about this.
What?
If
that
you
want to
buy a Yankee jersey with the Star Insurance patch, and that's the only time I'm going to mention Star Insurance because they ain't paying me. Mm. They're not paying Tiki.
But so, why would you pay to put that on your jersey?
I have no idea.
And who gets the cut? Does do they get it?
I'm serious. I want to know.
Like if that's an extra, like very identifiable 15 marginal dollars that are going, it's going somewhere.
Right.
So who gets it?
I don't know.
That's an
Juan Soto at the end of the year.
Right. You're right. You're probably right.
But if you were at Yankee Stadium today, and I'm sure you bought a lot of crap, right? First day of the year. Mm-hmm. Let's go into the team store. I'm going to buy a jersey. I'm going to buy a Juan Soto. I'm going to buy a 22. Would you actually pay the extra $15 to get the patch?
No chance.
Yes.
Why?
What?
Hear me out. If you are one of those people that complains, oh, you put the name on the back of the jersey, it's not authentic, you got to get... If you want the authentic jersey, you have to wear exactly what the players wear, and like it or not, they wear that doofy star patch on it. So if you actually want the thing to look like the real thing for 15 extra bucks, I know it is a money grab, but yeah, if I care that much about it, I would pay the 15 bucks.
That's insane.
Not a chance.
You know what they should do?
Not a
then
chance.
Then your number only
that's
without
fine.
The it, patch is
that's
not
fine.
The real jersey.
I'm an originalist.
I like that. I do like that.
But who's going to walk past you and say, wow, I love that 22 no name on the back Soto jersey, but not legit.
He doesn't have the patch. It's
where's
not
the
legit.
Insurance company?
Juan Soto was not here when they didn't have the patch, so I know it's not a real Juan Soto jersey.
See, if they were smart, you know what they would do? Now, unless you're telling me, Sean, did you buy a jersey today or no?
I did not.
If you're going to buy a new authentic Yankee jersey, you would. You're saying you would spend the extra money.
Yes, I know it's a money grab, but at that point, it's $15 extra. If I want that with no name on the back, I want it to look like the real thing.
So here's what they should do.
So when you do it, ask them where the money goes. Say, hey, where does this $15 go?
Tiki, I mean, I bought a chicken finger bucket today. They had no idea where the Pepsi was. I love
the idea that you think the person at the team store is going to know the answer.
I mean, just ask. Okay. They might know.
You know what they're going to say? Not my pocket. If these teams were smart, because this is how they'd get my money. If I was going to go buy, like, I bought a jersey for my dad last year that said Grandpa, right? From both of my sons, from my nephew. Like, oh, what a great jersey, Grandpa. If they had pulled that crap with the sponsor, I would have been the one paying the money to not have the sponsor on it. Like, if they said for an extra $15, we will not, I don't even know the Met sponsor. I couldn't even tell you what it is. I watch every freaking game. I have no idea and I don't care. And I don't want to know. I would pay the money to not have the sponsor.
To have it off. Just to have it clean.
And it wouldn't feel less authentic.
And how long is this insurance company going to... Is it insurance? Right?
The Yankee one is an insurance company.
Right. How long is this insurance company going to be the sponsor?
I don't know. Were they the sponsor last year? I don't even know.
They were.
So how long is the deal? Like, because in 4 years, is it going to be another... You got to get a different patch.
That's right.
Another $15.
No, then you know.
You have to take it off and put another one on and... cost $20 now. Like, seriously, what are we talking about?
No, but that's a marker for the era. You knew that was the New York Star era or whatever. By the way, it's New York Presbyterian on the Mets.
Oh, I didn't care, by the way. Thank you for telling me.
But if it was My Mets Bible that was sponsoring on there, would you care?
I don't have the money to pull that off. That'd be something, though. That'd be great. Let's go to Phil in Livingston. Hey, Phil.
Hey, guys. I was at the game today with three of my lifelong buddies.
Nice.
And first of all, the lines to get into the stadium was ridiculous. Okay,
yep.
We actually missed the first two innings.
What time did what time did you get online to get in the stadium? Just to get a perspective on that.
I'm not sure what time it was that we got online, but look, we met up at Vince Lombardi rest area, service area.
Right.
Okay, and it took so long to get to the stadium. Like I said, we got there in the top of the third.
I know, but the problem is the reason I can't defend you is you can't even tell me what time you...
Yeah.
If you got there at 1:10, I don't feel bad for you. If you got there at 12 o'clock, I'd say, whoa, that's crazy. You're online for an hour and a half.
So is he talking about the first few lines to get into this ballpark itself?
Yes.
Or to get from Vince Lombardi to the stadium?
Well, both. He was talking about traffic and then the line getting into the game. And I could tell you there was a line getting into the game. And I went in very early at about 11, and I went to the clear line, which is a Tiki Barber special. He taught me that.
Yes.
Because when he goes to the Brooklyn Net games with me, he goes on that clear line.
And it's like immediate.
Easy. It is. I used it the other night when I went to the LeBron game with my son. So I saw the clear line. I'm like, perfect. I get the clear pass out. And the line took forever.
Did it really?
And Sean is texting me. I'm already in. I'm like, did you go on the clear line? He said, no.
What did you do? You went through the Hard Rock?
Regular line, regular Grand Hall next to the Hard Rock. I flew in. Now, and look, I understand everybody's on a different schedule. Maybe somebody worked this morning. If you took off today, you know there's morning rush hour traffic in New York
City.
And
it's opening day.
It's a
sellout.
Right. You know the gates are always crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Get going and into that stadium no later than noon, and you're not going to miss any time.
Evan, you should have went to the Hard Rock and said, I just got to go say hello to BT and Sal.
By the way, speaking of saying hello to BT and Sal, I love BT and Sal. Nothing against them. I see them every freaking day.
I'm not saying you had to actually.
Why would I need to say hello? I see them every day.
Okay, I'm not saying you actually had to say hello to BT and Sal.
I'm just
telling you, you would have gotten right in. You would have went right through the side entrance, and you'd have been in there in 10 minutes.
No, you're right, and you're probably right about that part. The only reason I bring that up is because Sean, I was meeting in the building, and he's like, hey, just give me a few minutes. I'm saying hi to BT and Sal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Sean, again,
you know why
I love
that, right?
BT and Sal. I see them every day. Like, every day we see them, and it's, hey, what's up? You know, have a nice conversation. Sal and I have been going back and forth about Pete Alonso. Like, it's not like they're people I don't see.
Ev, how could you, like,
not understand? That's my comment to Sean. Okay, like,
how could you understand what he was not? He was hoping that BT and Sal would be, hey, Sean, come get some airtime.
No.
You're a huge Yankee fan.
No,
it's Yankee opening day. Man, how
are
you feeling? What do you think? Tell us about the season. He was trying to steal some airtime.
First of all, that's what he was trying to do. No shot. BT's Yankee ego is too big. He can't fit it through the door. He was not having me on the internet spot. No, I wanted to say hello after, by the way, I was using the Hard Rock bathroom because it was a shorter line. It was right next to where I came in. Mm-hmm. And then once I was using the bathroom, I'm like, how do I not just, hey, what's going on?
But this is, you know, by the way, and this is nothing just about them. In general, the come say hi thing always bothers me. If I'm seeing somebody every day,
mm-hmm.
why am I going out of my way to say hi to them? I see them every day. So like my neighbor, you ran into my neighbor at the game, right?
Rob,
he's a great guy.
Yes.
I see Rob every day.
Mm-hmm.
If Rob, now this didn't happen, but if Rob texted me, hey, I'm at the stadium, come by and say hi, I would have been like, dude, I see you every day. Why the hell am I coming by to say hi?
Oh, it's different if he says come by and I'll buy you a drink. That's
a little different. Like Boomer and Gio, I don't see them a lot. I saw them this week because they helped me promote my book, and I appreciate that. But literally, I see Giannotti and Boomer once every 3 months. That's different. If all of a sudden I got a, hey, Ev, I'm here, come say hi, I'd be like, ah, Gio, I never see him. Big Mac, I never see you.
Who
never
did come
Big
over
Mac.
And say hi looking for Evan? He was already gone.
Listen, I wanted to score the game. What do you want from me? He knows that. But when you see someone every day, whether it's a neighbor or it's a coworker, saying hi.
Yeah. Ev.
He's with me on this.
I am with you on this.
I got a full hour in at stands. I got ice cream in before noon with you. I didn't miss a pitch of the game today. What was I going to do with the 10 minutes I said hello to BT and Sal? What more could I have done today?
No, it's not about that. It's more the need to say hi to people that you see every day. You literally see them every day. Bobby's calling from Belmore. Good afternoon, Bobby.
Hi. A couple quick things. Number one,
Volpe, do you think he should be number one hitter and Stanton should be put down the order and Stanton continues to hit like this? Do you think he should be benched?
By the way, you bring up a great question. It's a great, great, great question. And this is the battle we're all going to have, Yankee fans, Met fans. How quickly do you make lineup decisions based on a sample size that is so brief? Anthony.
Can't do it yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, because Anthony Volpe got on base two more times today. Mm-hmm. He was thrown out trying to steal back in the second inning, his first stolen base attempt of the season. But he was on base two more times. He came into this game hitting 409. So do the math. He's hitting over 400.
423.
423 is up to.
Yep, OPS 1100.
And Anthony Volpe's a kind of guy that once he starts to hit, and he has been hitting, he's a leadoff hitter.
Yep.
Like, he steals bases, he has a high on-base percentage, he has great at-bats. So the question is, how much more would you need to see from Volpe before you pull that trigger? It's a great question. Well, you don't think, but you're saying not now.
I don't think right now because, I mean, Torres had a hit today. He's, what is he, hovering around?
220.
220. So I think he's going to be fine as the leadoff hitter for right now. So I don't... It's not urgently necessary.
It's not about urgency. It's about when do you deserve it? And I think that call by Bobby is a great phone call. We're done with SNY already? Mm. We're barely on the radio and TV. Oh, it's already 6 o'clock.
They got to get to Met pregame, right? 6:40 first
pitch? Yeah, maybe we got Met pregame today. Mets against the Cincinnati Reds. See you later. Yeah, it's just a quick show, man. We're trying to squeeze everything in, you know, Yankee baseball.
What did you think? It was 3 o'clock?
Yeah, I thought it was 3 o'clock. I was very confused. But the reason why I thought Bobby made a great phone call is... Those two things are connected in my brain.
With the Stanton thing.
I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
If I say, you know what, Volpe has earned it. Let's give the kid the leadoff spot. Gleyber Torres takes Giancarlo's spot as a run-producing bat in the 4-5 area around Anthony Rizzone after Aaron Judge. So you can do the two things our last caller suggested in one fine swoop. And I got to tell you, I would do it tomorrow.
Huh.
And I wouldn't do it tomorrow out of panic. I wouldn't do it tomorrow because I need to. The Yankees are 6-2. I would do it tomorrow because Tiki, he's earning it.
Yeah, of course. But we already know that that's not high on the priority list. It's how do you match up with the lefty pitcher or righty pitcher or whatever it's going to be? Because Oswaldo Cabrera was not in the lineup today.
Yes.
And there's no reason that Oswaldo Cabrera should not be in the lineup every day. He's 22 years old, 21 years old. He doesn't need the break. And John Birdie hasn't earned yet, at least in our minds, taking his spot.
No, I agree with you, but you know why I think this is different? I think that there are certain kids who, when they come up, they're going to bat lower in the batting order, and then eventually, once they earn their right towards the top of the order, that's it.
Yeah, but doesn't it feel quick?
No. Hmm. Why? Because it's only 8 games?
No, because it doesn't feel like it's an issue.
It's not about being... I don't think you need to make moves because of their issues. I think you need to make moves when it's earned. Anthony Volpe profiles as a leadoff hitter, right? He didn't deserve to lead off starting the season. I was always against that. Mm-hmm. But 8 games into the season, he's one of their hottest hitters, and he gets on base. And look, if he struggles, is that your concern? He struggles, then you got to drop him back down again?
No, because that happened last year.
Right.
Right? They did it for, I don't know how long, a couple weeks, and it didn't work, so they moved him back down. But again, that was just a season-long, like, inconsistency of a rookie.
Yeah.
So...
I think I would do it. I think I would do it tomorrow. I'd lead him off.
If you're going to lead him off, and I know he's hitting like crazy, you know one thing you can't do? Get caught stealing like he did today either.
Yeah.
Oh, well, come on. It was his first stolen base attempt.
Well, that's part of the allure of hitting him lead off.
Sure, but to Sean's point, last year, it was like when he was on first, he was on second.
Exactly. I know. And he rarely would get caught. So let's not judge that. Plus, having Soto and Judge behind him, where they take a lot of pitches, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to steal second base. I think it's a great point. Because it's a really difficult question. When do you make those kinds of moves? What does the sample size need to be before you say, hey, let's make a move? Now, I know the Mets are different because they were struggling, but I give Carlos Mendoza credit. It took him 3 games before he said Francisco Alvarez is going to bat cleanup.
Yep.
Today, with Brandon Nimmo out of the lineup, Francisco Alvarez is batting third. How about that? Now, again, Mets are in more of like a desperation mode, but still. Joe is on the Lower East Side. What's up, Joe?
Hey, FT, how's everything going, guys?
We're good, dude. What's up?
I was at the game today.
Nice.
I want to make a comment about Ev's gear, but first and foremost, I want to say for shame on Yankee Stadium. Myself and my girlfriend were both NYPD. We came in to Gate 4, which is usually the UMOS entrance.
Right.
No longer a police entrance.
And I say, for shame on Yankee Stadium.
Really? So they used to have like a private entrance where you would get to go in, and they changed that this year?
They changed it. Said no more, no more people. And I was like, you know, what are the perks? We, you know, lay our lives on the line. And unfortunately, that's not a thing. So for shame, Yankee Stadium, you're listening, change that policy.
Change that policy.
Do you think that was just for opening day?
No, no. I my buddy's like, that's it. No more, no more, no more. So, like, listen, Yankee Stadium has the most fakakta, you know, section about getting into the stadium. That was one of the perks. Now Yankee Stadium wants to take that away from us, and hopefully they change that. Ev, I want to get to you saying you cannot wear the gear of other teams that are not playing when those two teams are playing.
Yes.
Only way the two teams are playing. I'm a Jet fan, but you can't wear a Jet something to a Met game. I'm a Yankee fan.
Why?
You have to play those two teams. It's bad fan etiquette, man. Wear something that's not affiliated with sports, like one of the wrestling t-shirts. You wear a Hot Rod t-shirt, a Stone Cold t-shirt.
But I'm that's a child, advice. And all my gear is sports related.
That's good advice.
Yeah, but I don't understand that connection. Like
I confuse people.
Confuse.
You make people say, "What the hell is this guy thinking?"
That
and then they realize who you are. And like, dude, this guy's the host of the afternoon drive on WFAN.
Yeah, but they know I'm a slob.
And
everybody knows that.
And the other problem is Evan doesn't have like any non-sports clothes anyway.
That's what I was saying.
No nondescript plain hoodie.
Here's why I disagree with that. When I go to Met games, it bothers me when I see people wearing Yankee stuff and the Yankees aren't playing. When I go to Net games, it bothers me when I see people wearing Knicks stuff and the Knicks aren't playing. It bothers me when I go to a Knick game and I see someone wearing a Laker jersey and the Lakers aren't playing. But when it's a different sport, who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It's just kind of random, though.
But the three teams Evan just mentioned are fashion statements. There are people that wear Yankee hats that are not Yankee fans. It's just cool to wear a Yankee hat. Nobody wears a Jet sweatshirt to be cool. They're just a Jet fan.
You know what I saw today at Yankee Stadium? And this bothered me. I called it out to Sean. I brought it up to Sean. You remember what I saw? Austin Riley Braves jersey?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Today?
Today, that's right. Yeah, today. Yeah, I saw an Austin Riley jersey.
There was a kid that left on a Phillies jersey, too.
A Phillies jersey?
How old is the kid?
He was like 8. His dad had a Philly hat.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, that's fine.
For the kid.
Teach a kid the ground rules.
There was also a guy section over wearing a full-blown Joe Klecko Jets jersey,
that's
too.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, Joe Klecko's a Hall of Famer. You can wear his jersey anywhere. You can wear it to
bad
work.
Job by me.
That's right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.